Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Courtney Morris. She's an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Sonali.
Amnesty International has joined a number of other international human rights groups in condemning the U.S.-backed Saudi-led war on Yemen. In a new report entitled Nowhere Safe for Civilians, released this week, the group pointed out that bombings have taken place on densely populated residential neighborhoods. A spokesperson told press civilians in southern Yemen have found themselves trapped in a deadly crossfire between Houthi loyalists and anti-Houthi groups on the ground. While facing the persistent threat of coalition airstrikes from the sky, all the parties to this conflict have displayed a ruthless and wanton disregard for the safety of civilians, end of quote. UNICEF, Human Rights Watch, Doctors Without Borders, and the Red Cross have in recent weeks issued similarly dire warnings. Ignoring the accusations of war crimes, Saudi Arabia this week bombed Port Hodeidah, a major port used for aid shipments. And the U.S. recently doubled its advisors aiding Saudi Arabia's war effort. Well, Courtney, this war is getting very little attention in the U.S., even among the left. Why?
Well, you know, I think that this has a lot to do with understanding the nature of the United States' relationship with Saudi Arabia, and also understanding the nature of the reputed relationship between Iran and the Houthi rebels in Yemen, who are Shia. And, you know, as our listeners know, the United States has a very close relationship with Saudi Arabia for a number of geopolitical reasons, despite its authoritarian, anti-democratic style of governance. In relationship to that, Saudi Arabia has a very antagonistic relationship with the Islamic Republic of Iran, who is rumored to be backing the Houthi rebels in Yemen. And so what we're seeing here is kind of several proxy wars playing out. And it's clear that both sides have committed war crimes without a doubt. But clearly, Saudi Arabia has played the greatest role in terms of enacting violence in the region and needs to be held accountable for that. But I think if we were to talk about that in the West, that conversation would ultimately lead us back to the United States and why the U.S. has not reined in Saudi Arabia in this conflict.
Meanwhile, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, has just beheaded a leading Syrian antiquities expert and scholar named Khalid al-Assad. The 82-year-old retired director of a museum in the ancient city of Palmyra was captured by ISIS and likely tortured before being killed. ISIS fighters paraded his bloodied corpse in an open city center. According to the LA Times, Assad's capture and interrogation, quote, might have been an effort to recover caches of gold rumored to have been buried in the ruins of Palmyra. The militant group, which many have referred to as a death cult, has destroyed many ancient ruins in Syria in addition to their mass killings, sexual assault, and torture. Courtney, why do you think ISIS carries out atrocities like this? Obviously, this wins them far more enemies than friends.
Well, you know, unfortunately, Sonali, I think ISIS's strategy is less about making friends. It's more about compelling conversion and forcing obedience. And that strategy, as we're seeing, is really being enacted through a number of fear tactics designed to subdue and to discipline local populations. And as an anthropologist, I find the use of these cultural practices of terror particularly revealing, right? Destroying ancient sites, ransacking libraries, and assassinating scholars and elders who carry the stories of these countries and are huge repositories of cultural knowledge. So this is, I think, a truly distressing time for the Middle East and for those living in the region. And I'm fearful that we will see more of this in the days to come.
And finally, here in the United States, whistleblower Chelsea Manning just announced that she was found guilty of several charges during her sentence at Fort Leavenworth. She will be restricted from using recreational facilities for 21 days, including the gym and the library. While that punishment is much gentler than the potential indefinite solitary confinement she faced, the mark on her record will likely add years to the time she actually serves and will make parole far more difficult. Manning was charged with, among other things, possessing contraband in the form of an expired tube of toothpaste and a copy of Vanity Fair featuring Caitlyn Jenner on the cover. Manning is serving a 35-year sentence for leaking military documents about the Afghanistan and Iraq wars to WikiLeaks. Her supporters and her are convinced that she is being punished for speaking out about political issues from inside prison. Courtney, these charges sound nothing less than punitive, right? I mean, why do you think they have found her guilty of such ridiculous things?
I mean, I think that this just plainly reveals the government's decision to continue to make an example of Chelsea Manning. And I can't read it as anything other than a concerted attempt to make her life hell in order to communicate to all of us what will happen if you step out of line. And so I see this as a fear tactic of another kind. But, you know, I definitely read this reading as a punitive assault on Chelsea Manning, who, you know, I have to say has, I think, really managed to move through this situation with a degree of dignity and integrity that's truly astounding, and at least 100,000 people agreed with that. And so in all of this, it's encouraging to see that as the state is attempting to break Chelsea Manning, that the people are really holding her up in all of this.
Yes, and she would have been eligible for parole by next February, and these charges on her record will make that quite difficult, which is probably why she was charged with these things. Courtney, thank you, as always, for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Bye, Sonali.
Courtney Morris is an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. This is Uprising, and you can watch Uprising on YouTube at youtube.com/uprising with Sonali, or on Free Speech TV, which is available on Dish Network and DirecTV, as well as Roku. We air every weekday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. We'll be right back after this break.